today as we come to the table.
There is a scary application here for us. So don't get me wrong. It doesn't mean that if you've missed your opportunity to go into the land, that you can't repent and go into the land today. But what God is saying is, if you're the Christian that says, this is too hard, I can't turn from that sin, I don't have the power to stop doing that, I can't deal with that situation, what you're saying is to God is, the giants are too big. It's too hard for me to take the land. I know you've called me to do it. I know you told me you'd give me the power to do it, but I can't do it. He says, then you're gonna live in the wilderness. And some of you are living in a spiritual wilderness because you will not believe the word of God, the power of God. Get up, put on your armor, and move forward in battle and trust the Lord.
Just like a soldier trains for the battlefield to be prepared for times of war, a Christian soldier should train to be ready for times of spiritual warfare. While times are easy, you should be learning and memorizing God's Word, so you can draw from those scriptures when the days get harder in the battles. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. Today, Pastor Mark will encourage you to put in the work behind the scenes in your walk with God. In your alone time, spend time in prayer. Spend time in God's Word. Grow with your faith so it's unshakable when it's time for you to face the war. You can go into battle with confidence that God will get you through it. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Acts, chapter 14, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
The Lord is here in power to minister to you. By His Word, by His Spirit, that's what God is going to do. If you will open up your heart and let God minister to you, you've come to meet with Him. He will be here to meet with you. He will keep His end of the deal. So open your heart and be ready for what God has for you. Praise the Lord. Do you have your Bibles? Let's open them up to Acts chapter 14. As we look today at enduring as a good soldier of Christ. Now, it's interesting when you think about being a good soldier. I don't know if you guys realize this or not, but if you know Jesus Christ, you are a soldier right now. You may not know you're a soldier. You've probably heard that. Maybe you sang the song in Sunday school when you were a kid or whatever, but you're really a soldier for the Lord. And the bottom line is there's two kinds of soldiers. There's those that sit there and get shot at, and there's those that get up and take the battle to the enemy. And if you're not putting on the armor every day, getting in the Word of God, getting in prayer, moving forward in battle, you're getting shot at. You say, well, I'm not getting shot at because I'm not really out in the battle. You're getting shot at whether you go to the battle or not, because trust me, if you've given your life to the Lord, the battle's coming to you. And the battle will come in your home, it'll come to your wife, your husband, your kids, your workplace. You're in the battle. And you're either a dodging Christian, or you're a Christian that says, okay, look, I'm getting shot at, I might as well put on some armor, I might as well pick up my weapon, and I might as well go into battle. And so that is what I want to encourage you to do today. God has called you to be a soldier that's heading into battle. Now, there is a preparation time. Even as we have the earthly armies or whatever, you have the boot camp time where there's training, and then God sends you into the main battle that He's called you to do, and that boot camp can vary from time to time depending on what God has called you to do. But we look at a great model of that with the children of Israel when God was bringing them out of Egypt. It's interesting, when God brought them out of Egypt, God said, "This is my army." Now think about that. Would you want this to be your army? Again, they had been slaves in Egypt for hundreds of years. All they knew how to do was work in the mud and make mud bricks and do all this. There was no training with the military, no weapons training, no this kind of thing. But God said, "You are my army," and He brought them out. And that's how we are when we first give our life to the Lord. God brings us out of Egypt and He says, "There you are. You're my warrior. You're my army." We're thinking, "You've got the wrong guy. I'm not really a warrior and your army's pretty awesome, but I can't certainly be a part of it." No, He says, "You are. I just have to train you." And so then the training began with the children of Israel. Did you realize that if you came straight out of Egypt and went up the coast, it's an 11-day journey to Israel? They spent 40 years in the wilderness. Why? Because God said they weren't ready for battle. Now, they didn't spend 40 years because they weren't ready for battle. They were only supposed to spend 2 years. God brought them into the wilderness, and that was their boot camp. He took them to Mount Sinai, and during that time, every day they were in the Word, and they were in prayer, and God was speaking to them. And that's exactly what happens to us. We give our life to the Lord, and God wants us in the Word. He wants us in prayer. He wants us learning and growing and getting prepared for the battle. Now, that doesn't mean they weren't serving right away. They no doubt were helping to clean up the stalls and move the animals and move things around. Again, that service to the Lord can begin day one when you give your life to the Lord. And for those who do it, I think it should. For those who do it, there's going to be a reward. You're going to grow that much faster. But the actual call into the ministry that God has called you into oftentimes is delayed until you get the proper training. Once they had 2 years worth of training, they were ready to go into the promised land. And God said to them, now go in and take the land. And what did they say? They had gone to see the land and they said, no, there's giants. It's too hard. It's too hard. This thing you've called us to do, God, is beyond us. We can't do it. And God said, because you said that, you're going to now live in the wilderness rather than walk in the promised land and free in the spirit that I planned for your life. Guys, there is a scary application here for us. And don't get me wrong. It doesn't mean that if you've missed your opportunity to go into the land that you can't repent and go into the land today. But what God is saying is, if you're the Christian that says, this is too hard, I can't turn from that sin, I don't have the power to stop doing that, I can't deal with that situation, what you're saying is to God is, the giants are too big. It's too hard for me to take the land. I know you've called me to do it. I know you told me you'd give me the power to do it, but I can't do it. He says, then you're going to live in the wilderness. And some of you are living in a spiritual wilderness because you will not believe the word of God, the power of God. Get up, put on your armor, and move forward in battle and trust the Lord. And what God is saying to you is, get up, put on your army, and move into the promised land. You don't have to live in a wilderness any longer. Now, is there God-ordained wilderness? Absolutely. Remember, God sent them there for a couple of years. I spoke to a brother in the Lord that's in one right now. I spoke to him last night. He's going through a struggle of dryness. He's like, I don't understand this. I'm walking with God. I'm in the Word every day. I'm in prayer, and everything is so dry. I said, you know what? God is working in your life. You let him work. God is refining you. God is molding you. God is shaping you. God is saying to you, okay, I know you love me when it feels good. What about when you don't feel anything? Do you still love me? Is this for better or for worse? Is this for richer or for poorer? Or is this just when it's exciting and I'm seeing miracles and I feel God's spirit and I've got tinglies and the teaching was good? When is your walk committed to God? Is it committed to God when things are bad, when things are hard? Guys, this is where the rubber hits the road. And so God is going to allow every believer, he's allowed me to go through it. It may happen again, I don't know. He's going to allow you to go through dry times, through hard times. Some of you in this room, you're in it right now. You're saying, yeah, he's allowed it. I'm in it right now. It is God ordained and God is working. Trust him. Stay as a faithful soldier. Continue to soldier on. Don't lose heart. God will give you what you need to continue on in the journey. You know, it's like those guys that are running and the person's there with the cup and they hand them the cup, you know, and they take a drink or whatever. That drink is enough to make them go another few miles or whatever to the next guy with the next cup. God will give you a drink if you'll open up your heart and receive it. It may not be the gulp that you want, but God will give you a drink and he'll give you what you need to survive. Don't die in the wilderness like the children of Israel. The giants are not too big. Our God is bigger than any giant. Trust him, believe his word, and move forward. Listen, but I'm afraid, so am I. We're all afraid. Now, a few guys will admit that, right? Girls might admit it more than a guy would. We can't say we're afraid. Everybody has fear, especially when you go into battle. Anybody that's going into battle, they're gonna have fear. Now, once the adrenaline kicks in, the fear oftentimes disappears. But the reality is, there's going to be that fear. Don't be afraid. Trust the Lord. And for some of you, God is calling you saying, look, it's time for you to step up and be a soldier. Don't just get shot at. Get into the battle. Get into the warfare. Because serving the Lord is not always easy. And when we step out in the name of the Lord, we are reminded quickly that indeed the battle is real. And the battles that Paul and Barnabas went through, when I look at the battles they went through, guys, they're nothing compared to us today. If we look at this in contrast, now, we all have battles. And we may have greater battles in the last days as we move forward like they did in the early church. But right now, we don't have the kind of battles they had. They had threats of violence. They were run out of town. They were stranded at sea. They were beaten multiple times with stripes, thrown in jail, as we're going to see today. It would appear that Paul was even killed and resurrected. Now, we don't know. Paul himself is going to say, I don't know whether I was dead or not. But the reality is, how many of us have been killed and gotten back up and said, all right, well, where's the next ministry opportunity, right? I say that tongue in cheek because that's probably not going to happen to too many people. But the reality is we're so quick to give up. We're so quick to throw in the towel and say it's too hard. Look, there is a reward waiting for you. And if you get into the battle, God will give you the strength you need for the battle. And then you have the reward of heaven waiting on you. Has anybody noticed this life goes by really fast? Man, it goes by quick. I seem to talk about it more the older I get. It's like, I remember being 18. And all of a sudden one day it's like, here I am standing here like I'm 60 years old. What happened? You look in the mirror, you know, you don't look like you did when you were 18. You know, and it wasn't that great at 18. So it's really bad now, right? So the reality is that, you know, guys, it happens fast. We've only got a little bit of time left. Grab onto it. You're going to regret it in heaven if you don't. Listen, you're going to get in the kingdom if you know the Lord. You're going to have a great reward. We're all going to be sitting at the wedding supper laughing and rejoicing. That's going to be a great time. But how much better to get there and say, you know what? I chose to get up and fight. I chose to go into the battle and not just sit back. Yep, I've got a few scars, but it was worth it. By the way, those of you that have scars, which I know really is everybody in here, you've all got scars. Everybody's heart, unless you're super, super young and you've got scars on your heart. Those scars are used in tremendous ways for the kingdom of God. Every time that lash goes upon your heart, God is preparing you to be a greater soldier for the Lord. And you know what happens? When you endure those scars and you go through that pain and you go through that hurt and you learn to forgive and you learn to move on, then when that person stands in front of you and they've got that same scar that just happened, you remember exactly what you felt like when you were in that place and you look at them with compassion and you say, you know what? Let's pray. And you pray from your heart. And you pray for their heart, and you watch God strengthen. Some of you may be getting scars on your heart right now for the person that's gonna come to you next year that needs your help. Recognize that God is working. Recognize that God is doing a work. There's a purpose. God doesn't waste a drop, guys. Remember when they fed the 5,000 and the multitudes? He told me, he said, gather everything up. Get all the fragments. Why? The whole principle was that God doesn't waste anything. Every suffering moment you go through, every painful moment you go through, every whatever it is, God is using it if you'll let him for his glory and for your growth to be more like him. And so allow God to do that. I know it's not fun. And if you're in that place of dryness, it will pass. If you're in that place of wilderness, then again, if it's a boot camp time and God's training, then praise the Lord. If it's because you believe the giants are too big and you refuse to go in the land, then take action today. And Paul and Barnabas were those types that said, you know what? We're going to do this. We're going to move forward. Now, again, I know that it comes at different stages. Paul and Barnabas were pretty far down the road at this point. And so we grow and we mature when we step out and do things like this missionary journey that was quite literally about a year long. That's quite the missionary trip. Can you imagine going on a missionary journey for a year? And why was that? Because everywhere they traveled, it was by foot. And it was miles and miles and miles. And we read about them going up to Iconium. That was almost 100 miles. And then they go down to Lystra and Derbe. That's another 40 or 50 miles. And they're going back and forth walking these long distances. You talk about soldiers who made their mind up, I'm going to follow the Lord and I'm going for it. These guys went for it. And so I don't say that to put us to shame. I say that to wake us up and help us to realize if we're truly going to serve the Lord, there's going to be a cost that comes with it. And it's going to be difficult sometimes. I mean, everywhere Paul went, pretty much there was a riot or ended up in jail. And so we have to be mentally prepared for this. We have to understand this. You know, if you ever watch any of these documentaries on battles or wars or whatever, I don't know if any of you ladies are into that, but there's something that God puts into a man sometimes. You know, you want to see about the battles and the wars or whatever. Man, they were miserable. Look, I didn't grow up in a military family. I didn't have military around me, so I never had a desire for military, although I think it's awesome. And those of you that did it, praise the Lord for that, because that's a call of God. And God puts you in that place, and we appreciate that. But when you go back and look at these battles that these people went through and these men or whatever, I mean, they had times where it was like raining for a month straight in the middle of a jungle, right? And you think about it, if you've ever gone camping, you know, and had the rainstorm come, some of your campers, and or any kind of situation where you're out in the outdoors and it becomes miserable, like, and 30 minutes seems like 5 hours, right? And it lasts forever. We just try to make it through the night to get to the next day and get out of there. These guys lived in that. And their shoes were always wet. Their jackets were always soaked. They were always miserable. All their meals were inundated with water. They would jump up in the middle of the night and have to start fighting with weapons and warfare. You know what I mean? I mean, this kind of stuff is going on all the time. So that's what real battle is. And then when we do the spiritual battle, it's not typically going to be that type of thing for us in that scenario. But there may be stretches of warfare that wear us down. God's going to be faithful to give you what you need to do it. But you've got to learn to be a good soldier. And it's interesting. I think part of being a good soldier is realizing there's no turning back at this point. Okay, we've made the commitment. We're not turning back. And know this, we are going to get the victory. We serve from a position of victory. Yes, we get hurt. Yes, we take shrapnel. Yes, we get shot at and sometimes hit. But God has already said, you will live forever in the kingdom of God and you're going to have reward. Don't turn back. Be faithful. Once you put your hand to the plow, don't look back. And realize, I will give you the victory. Once you step in, God will give it. Just trust him. You know, when Julius Caesar, according to history, it says, when he landed on the shores of Britain, he was a great leader and had great victories for the Roman armies and government. He was there with his Roman legions there on the shores of Britain, and it says he took a very bold and decisive step to ensure the success of his military venture. Ordering his men to march to the edge of the cliffs of Dover, he told them to look down at the water below. Unbeknown to them and to their amazement, they saw every ship in which they had just crossed the channel engulfed in flames. They had no way of escape and no way of retreat. Caesar had deliberately set the boats on fire and cut off any possibility of retreat so that the soldiers knew they were unable to return, they were unable to retreat, and there was nothing left for them to do but advance forward and conquer. And that's exactly what they did. They advanced forward and had a great victory there in that region. That is what God wants for us as believers. He wants us to realize there's no turning back. The world has nothing for you. There's nothing left in the alcohol. There's nothing left in the drugs. There's nothing left in the sexual activity. There's nothing left, you name it, whatever the list is of your vice, whatever you came out of, if you did, there's nothing left in that for you. I had someone say to me recently, you know, it seems harder now sometimes being a Christian than it was in the world. I said, yeah, but if you ever go back to the world, you'll find out how empty it is. And the things that used to satisfy you, they don't satisfy you. They make you miserable. Because you're no longer that person. You're a new person now in Christ. And by the way, when you do give your life to the Lord, yes, sometimes the battle does get more intense. I found that after coming to the Lord, there are some things in life that became more difficult than before I knew the Lord. But you need to know that as a believer, not to think that you give your life to the Lord and now it's easy peasy and there's nothing to worry about. No, we are in that battle. But I'm telling you, the reward is worth it. God always is faithful to fill us and refresh us and use us. And when you see the victory, it is so wonderful to see the victory. It's such a joy. And so God wants us fully committed in the battle, no retreat, no turning back. And this is exactly where we see Paul and Barnabas as good soldiers of the Lord as we take up here in chapter 14 as they carry on in this first missionary journey that they've got out on. Now, we ended, if you remember, them fleeing Iconium, again about 90 to 100 miles away or so, for Lystra and Derbe as their lives were being threatened. And now we take up in Lystra where we're going to see an amazing miracle that God does through Paul. And also an attempted assassination of Paul, which again, he may have actually been killed. We don't know. It is interesting. I want to point this out. You wonder, why doesn't God do the same miracles? You notice it says that God bore miracles through them to bear witness as they were traveling. And God does miracles today. Don't get me wrong. But why did God do so many then? And I think in different times of seasons of world history, he's done that, even in church history. The reason being is to bear witness. It's to show that God is moving, that God's really involved. And especially when you think about Paul and Barnabas going out with no Bibles yet. People didn't have Bibles. They couldn't go home to look and see what it said in this book or that book or whatever. It was being written by Paul while he was journeying. So they simply had to believe what they were saying. Well, what would verify what they were saying? The miracles. And so the miracles were used to bear witness. We're going to see one right here that's going to be used to bear witness today. And notice he says in Lystra, verse 8, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. Now, again, the Holy Spirit sets the stage here right off the bat to make it clear that this was a supernatural miracle, okay? This was not just whatever. This man had never walked. Everyone knew that he couldn't walk. No sleight of hand here. He has no strength in his feet. He's crippled from birth. He's never walked. He's completely helpless. But the cool thing about this is, even when we are completely helpless, God is not, and power is there to transform this man's life. You may be feeling helpless, like that cripple, in whatever condition. Maybe you're not crippled, but maybe you feel helpless in some other way. God is here in power to minister to that if you let him. And God will do that. And so notice what happens here. It says in verse 9, this man heard Paul speaking, and Paul, observing him intently, seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand up straight on your feet, and he leaped and walked. Now, this is amazing here for a number of reasons. First of all, notice it says that Paul could see that this man had faith to be healed. I wonder what that looked like. Now, I think he could also see in the spirit, but no doubt this man's eyes were locked on Paul, and he's believing this. Now, it would appear to be street witnessing. We're going to see there's a lot of pagan worshipers out there. So this wasn't in a synagogue. And so they're out street witnessing, no doubt. Paul's giving this message out there in the streets. He sees this guy. They lock eyes. And this guy's got this look. I believe this. And there must be some intensity to his face, recognizing that he was hearing the word of God and believing it. But I believe there's something else going on here. And that is, I believe God spoke to Paul and gave Paul a word of knowledge. A word of knowledge is a gift where God speaks something to you that you could not have known if God hadn't supernaturally told you. It's only happened once or twice in my life. I think God uses the gifts when they're needed in our life in different ways. Some gifts operate more regularly. Some gifts don't as much. But I've seen this gift operate in my life before. And it's this thing where you know God said it. You know God just spoke to you. Somehow your spirit just knows it. And you know something about someone that you couldn't have known. This happened to Paul. And so Paul sees this guy. And again, he says, stand up on your feet. Now notice, Paul wasn't being presumptuous. And here's the thing I want you to get. Paul wasn't thinking that everyone that he said to stand up or that everyone that he prayed for or that everyone that he touched was going to be healed. And we don't see that in the scriptures. But when God tells Paul, I'm going to do this, then Paul in boldness does it. And Paul here sees that he's going to be saved or see that he's going to be healed, that God has put in his heart with a word of knowledge, I believe. He's told him about the Holy Spirit and he tells him to stand up. And again, we're going to see there's this great healing that takes place. Now, for just a moment here, a little bit about healing. Does God still heal today? Absolutely. But there needs to be an understanding about how God does healing. And there's a lot of teaching that is inaccurate in the church today, I believe, by well-meaning Christians, a lack of understanding of what was happening when Jesus walked on the earth and what's happening today. And that is that the Lord wants everybody healed. Now, let me say this. Ultimately, yes. Ultimately, God wants everyone healed. When Jesus comes back and rules in the millennial kingdom, all the blind will see, all the lame will walk, all the deaf will hear. He will heal everyone. And when Jesus walked on the earth, everyone around him that he touched was healed. And why? Because he was the millennial kingdom on the earth. He came down to earth. He was living the millennial kingdom. Jesus said when he was among the people, he said, the kingdom of God is among you. And so what he's saying is, I'm walking in that kingdom power. I'm walking in that messianic authority. I haven't taken the earth over yet, but I'm now walking in that power as long as I'm here, as long as the Son of Man is in the world, the light is in the world, is what he said. And that's why you see that everyone that he spoke to was healed, not just because he's God, but again, walking in that kingdom power, the position that God had put him at that time. Now, because of that, some falsely believe, because Jesus healed everyone, that we're supposed to pray and everyone's going to be healed. And if you're not healed, you don't have enough faith. That just doesn't line up with scripture. Sometimes God heals, sometimes he doesn't. For example, I can give you one. Paul himself cried out to the Lord multiple times, God, heal me. And Paul had a gift of healing, right? He operated in that gift and the Lord didn't heal him. And the Lord said, you know what, Paul, not only am I not going to heal you, I gave you that. I gave you that thorn in the flesh. And the reason I gave you that thorn in the flesh, the scripture tells us, is to keep him humble. As we're going to see later, when Paul is apparently dead or else leaves his body or whatever the case is, he goes to where God is. He sees the third heaven. We'll get to that more in just a moment. And God wanted to keep Paul humble. Can you imagine seeing heaven? Can you suddenly imagine just being there and seeing the glory of God? It would be very easy to be a little bit puffed up. You would have information that nobody else has, and it would be quite the experience. And so again, we'll get to that later, but God actually did that to Paul, and God ordained that Paul not be healed while here on earth. Now let that sink in. That was God ordained and designed by God.
You've just heard Pastor Mark Kirk teaching from the book of Acts, here on Come to the Table. Acts is a powerful account of how the gospel spread from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth through the work of the apostles and the power of the Holy Spirit. It reminds us that God equips ordinary people to do extraordinary things when they step out in faith. Just as the early church faced challenges and opposition, we too can trust that God is in control and will guide us through every season. If you want to experience this kind of faith and boldness, it starts with trusting in Jesus. If you have questions about what that means, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 865-609-1385. Once again, that's 865-609-1385. In addition, you can let us know by using our questions or comments link found on our website, thewaymedia.net. While you're there, stay a while. Familiarize yourself with our ministry and what we're about. Come to the Table is a ministry based out of Calvary, Knoxville. If you find yourself traveling through, staying in, or residing in Knoxville, Tennessee, we hope you'll come check us out at Calvary Knoxville. Consider that an invitation from us to you. We'd love to have you join our community. Service times can be found at thewaymedia.net. Just scroll down and find the link to Calvary Knoxville. Well, that's all the time we have for you today, but we want to say thank you for listening. Pastor Mark has more valuable insights from the book of Acts. So join us again on the next edition of Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.